Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Still snowing outside a little bit here in downtown St. Louis. Not sure what it's doing where you are, but we're glad that you are hanging out with us on this warm and cozy show with Ryan Wiggins back in studio.
Oh, thank you for saying warm and cozy and then my name. Hi.
Hi. If you were listening earlier in the show, we can't really remember when we said it, but we were talking about how Ethan's always shirtless.
Mm-hmm.
He was not listening when we said that.
No, which we felt bad about.
Who did?
Because we all did, because we were joking at his expense, thinking he was listening, and then he wasn't.
Mm.
And we felt bad about it. And so if you remember when we were talking about that, Ethan's trying to find it.
Yeah. Give us a time stamp on the old podcast at AnnieFryShow.com/podcast. Fox Business is reporting, we talked earlier in, were you here on Zuckerberg Day when we did the Zuckerberg poll?
No.
Okay. The poll was, do you trust, will Zuckerberg make Facebook great again?
I saw the poll.
And I said, don't get all caught up on the again part if you hate Facebook. You always hate Facebook. Do you believe him?
So weird take on this. I do believe him that he's going to change the way that companies run and that he believes in free speech. I just believe that the reason that he got to that point is weak and stupid.
Does it matter?
Yeah, it does matter.
Why?
Because what we're talking about, it's almost, in a way, it's better that he got there through this means than through any other. Because while I would love to see the heads of companies being so determined and sticking by really solid constitutional traditional principles, whatever that would mean, this means that the culture is shifted, that the Overton window we always talk about has shifted, and he's basically just blowing with the wind. So I do believe that he has changed, but I believe it's just because everybody's moving that direction, which is also a good thing.
I don't really care about the path and how you got there. I really just care at this point that you got there. And if Mark Zuckerberg is doing all of the right things because he's scared poopless, because we were asked about Donald Trump. Donald Trump was asked, if he was... Is Zuckerberg doing these things because of the threats you made? And Trump's answer is like, yeah, probably. Just like a very casual, yeah, you know, it could be whatever. I think that it's important to look at where people are moving and how people are shifting and understand that their avenue, everybody's path is going to be a little bit different. And knowing that the people who are on the other side of the non-existent bridge over to supporting anything that Donald Trump had to do, or even just entertaining the idea of having a conversation with him, The idea that now people are doing the things that Trump has guided them to do, I think it's really important to acknowledge that and be open-minded enough to let people who used to be on the other side of that non-existent bridge realize that they figured out how to build a bridge and get over the cross of, across it.
Yeah, I agree. And whatever means you're going to get there, it's fine. I just hope that the next time the culture shifts back in the other direction, whenever that may be and whatever that looks like, that you have found some footing here to say, no, we're not going to shift, you know. Just because you want censorship again, that doesn't mean we're going to bow the knee.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I said on the show when we did that poll, like, do you trust him? A lot of people don't. I think we had like 70%+ were like, no, nothing's going to change. But 30% who are willing to maybe give Zuckerberg the chance to get this done, it's probably an improvement. Fox Business reports Meta ends corporate DEI programs. The report from Fox Business: tech giant Meta on Friday ended its major diversity, equity, and inclusion programs effective immediately, joining a growing group of companies backing off DEI initiatives. This is really something to see another one falling on its face. And it says the company told employees that the, quote, legal and policy landscape surrounding diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts is changing. The removal of DEI, if you've been a part of this post-Obama hope and change, transform the way everybody sees things movement, and you're seeing company after company after company after company going, we can't do this DEI thing. We need to, which is ironic because most of the DEI was put in place as a PR move. It's a PR move to get rid of it. Mm. You want the memo to go out that you've canned that department of your business. That's the trendy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at a business that says, we're not going to go this route anymore. Listen, gosh, people, you know, the people who are upset about this, you have to understand something very, very important here. The idea that you're getting rid of your DEI department doesn't mean that you're committed once again to only hiring white men.
Yeah, come on.
It's absurd to think that. And it's really tiny minded, very small minded to think that the only way. Like, just, that phrase. Let this sink in. Imagine that the only way that black people or women or brown people or whatever color people could get jobs is if you carve out space where it has to be the case that you hire those folks. Like, if DEI is centered around the idea of diversifying offices, businesses, corporates, employee roles, and the only way to guarantee those people the opportunity to get those positions is to say, you got to have a couple people who look like this. And it's not just to open it up to the best person who has the job. That is racist.
Yeah. Yeah. DEI is so backwardly racist that it's almost hard to believe that the people who call themselves the race crusaders, the anti-racists, believe in these policies, because it makes no sense for somebody to ascend to a position, any position. Oh, my gosh. You became a computer tech, like you opened a company in Silicon Valley. That's great. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And you're gay? That's unbelievable.
Why didn't you say so?
Wow. I mean, that's incredible. Like, it's so stupid to think that you're trying to, you're basically reclassifying people by declassifying people. You're doing the opposite of what you're trying to do.
Well, and you're also calling into question those people's abilities.
That's right. Yeah.
Once you get the job and then they find out, like, it's like, well, did they get the job because they checked a box, or did they get the job because they're actually really, really good at this job? If I'm a business owner, if I'm running a business, I want the best at my job, and I'm not going to look at who are you romantically attracted to, you know, what's your gender, what's your race. None of that matters. Can you do the job that I need you to do, and are you the best candidate? And whenever you take away all those other prerequisites, then you know that person got the job because they're the best. When you put prerequisites on, you don't know.
And it's also like, I don't, if you're watching the people who are going through this fire situation in L.A. And I mean, the whole fire department in L.A. has been confronted with this very visual focus that fire department put on making sure that gay women We're running the show. Wait, I don't care. If my house is on fire and a lesbian runs in to save my life and my children, God love her. Thank you. Did you send the best you got? If that's who it is, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not in the position to go, I'm like stuck in my house. It's a blaze. And I'm like, who do you sleep with?
Right, yeah.
Whoa. So you got to ask some important questions here.
I see your resume looks pretty good for this company, but who are you sexually attracted to?
Yeah, it's not going to do it for me. Can you go get someone else?
Right, yeah. Oh, man, I don't know. Well, you looked good up until then.
Well, we have Marcus Freeman, coach of the national championship-bound Notre Dame Fighting Irish. He's black. Shocker, everybody. He's black. They won the Orange Bowl last night in incredibly dramatic fashion. It was a wonderful football game, I say, I am a Notre Dame Irish fan, but I am married to a very passionate Fighting Irish football fan. And, of course, ESPN has to ask the question. I mean, they're ESPN for the love. They have to ask the question of Marcus Freeman and acknowledge this moment because historically he's the first black guy to do this.
Because you are the first black head coach to go to a national championship game in college football.
Congratulations.
Just hearing that response alone, how much does this mean to you?
You know, I've said this before. I don't ever want to take attention away from the team. It is an honor, and I hope all coaches, minorities, black, Asian, white, it doesn't matter, great people continue to get opportunities to lead young men like this. But this ain't about me. This is about us. And we're going to celebrate what we've done because it's something special.
The crowd cheered when he said it.
Well, it's because they're sensible people.
Oh man, he's saying some smart things.
I'm not happy for him today that he's black, but I wasn't upset for him at all because he was black. He's Marcus Freeman. He is a wonderful leader for this Notre Dame football team. He knows what he's doing. He prepares them. His players speak in such a professional way when they are talking to the media. The way that they have progressed and met a little of adversity when they lost to Northern Illinois University, the only loss on their season. This is every time Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame win a football game, they're like, essentially, how does it feel to be doing this and be black? That's a dumb question.
Was that his response at the end of the Penn State game?
The Orange Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, we had the video playing on the live stream. There's a big bowl of oranges in front of him. He said that last night.
I'm just realizing, sorry for being late to the game here, I'm just realizing Notre Dame won that game because I saw Penn State was winning when I left.
It was 24-24 with less than a minute to go in the game, and Penn State threw an interception at the end, and then Notre Dame kicked a field goal 27-24.
Oh, crap, I was just catching up.
Yeah, it was yeah.
Wow.
Marcus Freeman wins, and here's what, I thought this last night, and I'm bringing it into the conversation right now. You have Marcus Freeman, who is very fairly new to the Notre Dame program. He's not been with this program for a super long time. He is 30. I think they said last night, he's about to celebrate his 39th birthday. And I was like, holy crap. This guy's young.
He doesn't look that old either.
No, he played professionally for a little bit. I think my husband said he was a college linebacker and maybe played like a defensive back or something. I don't know what he said. But he's young, he's successful, he is very good at what he does. I don't think that it's wrong to highlight in commentary that he's the first black man to reach a national championship. I do think it's kind of interesting, too, to think about how long have we had a national championship where you could compete to get to it and not be chosen by a boardroom of people who rank things and say, well, these two are going to be ranked 1 and 2 and they're going to play in the national championship. And this year it's going to be the Rose Bowl. I mean, it's not the national championship as it is this year. This is the first year that it's been this field of teams who have had the opportunity to do it. I don't think there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that he's the first black guy to do it as a historical marker, but to prioritize it in the way that to me, it diminishes what he's actually doing. And this is what I was saying last night. I kind of tangented on my own in my living room. His answer there is the same as what Caitlin Clark keeps saying. But Caitlin Clark is white. Caitlin Clark is put on the... When you ask questions like this, and it's not like they ask these questions... This is the first time he's been asked this question. He's been asked this question like every time he has a success. What's it like to be the first black man to this, to that, to whatever? He's given the same answer every time. And his answer here was like, you know, everybody, this is a great opportunity, and it's about the players, and it doesn't matter if you're black or you're brown or you're white. He said everybody, you know, he applauds the success that he's enjoyed because there's hard work in behind it. It's the same thing that Caitlin Clark is saying, but every time he's asked this question, there's a whole presumption of understanding that goes behind elevating him in that, like, you, all the elevation that comes in before he even opens his mouth is matched when they ask Caitlin Clark the same question, all the degradation that precedes her ability to answer the question. But the answer to the question is the same. I work really hard for the success that I've had. And the success that you're seeing out here is based on the effort that I put in, the choices that I've made, and the people around me who have helped me have this success. It's not really a color thing. When Marcus Freeman says it, I applaud. Everybody applauds. They're happy for him. When Caitlin Clark says it, it's not good enough. It's the wrong thing. She has not put down white people. She has not put down white people when she's answered that question. She has said, as she said in that Time Magazine Athlete of the Year article, I've earned everything that I have. And she still uses as an opportunity to say, listen, there's a lot of people who deserve acknowledgement as well. I just want to pull all of the participation into the race hustling out of the equation and say, who's great at what they're doing? Period.
Look, this is the land of opportunity. Have things always been fair for everybody based on their demographic boxes in America? Absolutely not. But we're to a place now where they are. And we've got to be now to a spot where asking the question or making the comment after every single time somebody does something that, oh my gosh, what does it feel like to be the first Asian American who won the slalom? You know, like at some point, these questions, and we may be at that point now, where those are the past. We are now in an era where it shouldn't be a surprise that somebody from a different race could do something magnificent or accomplish something. I think we're at that point in America.
And watching somebody even as, man, opposite of our side, as you would think, Mark Zuckerberg, ripping the DEI department out of Meta, makes me react to the Marcus Freeman question. The reporter asked the question. I don't really hold it against her. She's working for ESPN. She's going to have to ask that question. But if you go on, I retweeted it on X. If you go read the comments on ESPN's post of this question, when you look under the video that's right there on X, there's this little gray outline box. And that's where you can go to read the comments that the profile hides. Go read the hidden comments on ESPN's post of this, and it's everybody going, oh my gosh, enough. Enough. Can you just give him the credit for being a great coach? And can we just leave race out of this for once? Just seems like the tide is turning, the winds of change are upon us, and we are 10 days away from the inauguration of Donald Trump. And then that's when things start really getting going. YouTube live chat poll for today. It's a fun one. Grade the snow removal in your area. An A, a B slash C, a D, or an F. What do you think? We got a lot of comments coming in here. Erica said, solid F. I have not been out since last Saturday, and I hope I can get out tomorrow. Thankfully, I can work from home. If you've not been out, Erica, how do you know they're terrible? Maybe she knows people who have. Patricia said, Glen Carbon has been superb. Diane said, I voted D, and I'm in South County, but only because our condo complex, absolutely no clearing of any snow slash ice. So frustrating, but it could be worse. I could live in California, so feeling lucky. That's a very good perspective about it, and I think that's a reasonable one. You ever been plowed in? You ever had the snowplow come through and decide to put like a 6-foot barrier in front of your driveway?
We're always right on that line, depending on the driver.
It's rough.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? You just have to shovel it out, or you just try to burst through that sucker?
That's exactly what I do. Bam.
You do it in your car or your wife's car?
I do it in the SUV that she drives. We got a little downhill slope to that driveway.
Yeah.
It's just enough to get you going.
Get it,
wham.
Yeah. You got to put a little ramp on that thing.
I will next time. Yeah. I'll set a ramp out before the snow.
Okay. That's a great idea. Go vote on the YouTube live chat poll. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So you didn't, did you watch some of the football game last night? Did you see
Yeah, well, when I left, Penn State was winning 10-0.
Left the game?
When I left the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were winning what?
10-0.
That was in the first half.
Yeah, it was in the first half. That's the last I saw.
You saw it 10-0 in the first half and...
Yeah, but Penn State was dominating. I just was surprised that there was such a turnaround.
Okay.
I mean, they were. That first half was Penn State.
I could understand you like when it was like 24-17.
No, yeah, but we were talking about the game. Like, my dad is so good at analyzing football, and the way he was talking about the way that Notre Dame beat Georgia and the way that they were playing in that game, I was like, shoot, then I don't see much happening here. But then they won.
You should go on.
Ethan, okay, you have here comes Ethan.
Ethan, you want to?
Hi, everyone.
You want to weigh in here? Have you ever watched a game? It was 0-0 after the first quarter.
Uh huh.
I think it was 10-0, maybe halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah, about.
It was 0-0 like before the first quarter.
Oh my God.
This is honestly though the way that everything went. I would say probably 2.5 quarters through this game was the exact game plan that probably both head coaches had, because both of these teams have solid run games. More defensive built. Me and Brad were talking about that earlier, and then you got kind of towards the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. And it was like, all right, game on. And it was kind of just like a frenzy. You had crazy plays. You had big touchdowns. And it became really fast moving. And I think that that kind of threw everyone off. And nobody was expecting that. You could tell even the way the broadcasters were talking about it. They were surprised by how everything went down. So I got to say, the way that it finished, it was super exciting. And it definitely had me by surprise in the way it resulted.
Ryan, too, because he found out about it an hour ago.
I found out about it during the last segment.
It was an hour ago.
It was like 15 minutes ago.
Well, they won that?
Oh, yeah. They won the game.
Yeah, I'm reporting on this brilliant answer to a stupid question from Marcus Freeman. He's like, wait,
they won that game?
Notre Dame won?
I did hear that.
That's why you come to 97.1 for your sports. Ryan.
I tell you what, I watched a lot of TV. I was in the hospital for the last 3 days just getting a PICC line in my arm, getting some IV antibiotics because I had a lung infection. And you just sit there. You just sit there and watch TV. And
apparently
I watched
not all of it.
not enough. And I watched more. I watched the Blues game, finally. I haven't watched a whole lot of Blues this season. I watched that stupid game against the Wild. That game was ridiculous.
Terrible.
Like, the most random things were happening to the Blues that made them lose that game. But anyway, it was just fun to watch all this random stuff because I never sit down and watch TV, and I never have time to.
That's all you had.
And to sit there and watch the big stories, like the fires, watching that play out in real time is nuts. The Jimmy Carter funeral was weird because every station was carrying it. And also, by the way, CNBC, I discovered, huge revelation here, not really a news station anymore. They basically play Shark Tank all day and night.
Awesome.
Shark Tank stresses me out. I can't do it. I want everybody to get picked, but realistically, I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I feel bad when they don't. One of the other things that took place, we saw that, you know, people are making their trips to Mar-a-Lago. They're having their conversations. Of course, it's not really appropriate for Donald Trump to be. I don't know if it's inappropriate. Probably, I would think it was inappropriate if Donald Trump were still the president and Biden was coming in. I wouldn't want to see Biden traipsing around Capitol Hill when he wasn't quite the president yet. So he handles these business meetings at Mar-a-Lago, as he should. There's nothing wrong with that. Fetterman, John Fetterman from Pennsylvania, the senator who I still think is the most underrated, under-talked about political story of the last 2 years, from the time he was elected, when he, after he had his stroke, he still went through in that debate with Dr. Oz, and he opened the debate with good night. He was I completely understand in stroke recovery, your ability to function from a communicative standpoint can look diminished when your brain function is fine. Your thoughts can be fine and your ability to get it out can be affected by the stroke. But watching John Fetterman handle this moment in political history has been amazing.
I am not the senator for just Democrats in Pennsylvania. I'm everyone's senator in Pennsylvania. And so it's just having a conversation with the president.
It comes, so you've got him saying, as he's walking out of the Senate area where they all are, you've got him talking about how his job is to represent everybody in the state of Pennsylvania. Now, you don't really hear, I think that's probably what most people in the Senate think, basically, but then they also serve their party to an extent that supersedes the people, the constituents that they have quite a bit. But watching John Fetterman, he just does what John Fetterman thinks that John Fetterman should do. He doesn't seem to serve anybody other than his own personal thoughts on it. And he continues to remind people that he has constituents at home and they're a diverse group of people. And also, listen, if you want to be elected again in Pennsylvania in another 4 years, right? 2 years ago was his. If he wants to be elected when we have yet another presidential election, he's going to have to make sure that he's been on the right side of history. So it's smart for him to do this, but it's also the Democratic Party might think it's politically suicide for him to be doing this. This is what he said he's going to do in Mar-a-Lago.
Senator, can we ask you what you hope to get out of your visit to Mar-a-Lago to talk to Donald Trump?
Well, what are we talking about here? Is there some news?
There's some news. We hear that you're going to be heading down to Mar-a-Lago.
I've heard that.
What will you be discussing with the president?
Well, yeah, I demand that I need to be made Pope of Greenland.
Do you have the resume to be Pope?
I'm having a conversation. Like, he's the president. He's going to be.
It's funny. And it's funny that there's no laugh track. I'm going to be Pope of Greenland. And then they're like,
Here's what we should do. You should get yourself a laugh track on the computer over there.
Uh-huh.
Just throw it in from time to time.
That's not that hard. Might be able to do that before three.
Yeah, I need like a Friends Seinfeld laugh track. Friends was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Mm-hmm.
Was Seinfeld?
Mm-hmm.
So those were real laughter. But
well, some of it is.
And then you add in.
Then they add it later, too.
I think that maybe Congress would be better with laugh tracks and booze.
Yeah, I
not
would, too.
Not booze with the Z.
As long as the people hold the power of who's pressing the button. You know, it can't just be like some random staffer being like, oh, I'm going to do
this. It should
be
100 people, 50 Republicans, mm-hmm. 50 Democrats, and as long as you get a majority.
Yeah, it plays.
Yeah,
it plays.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be bipartisan.
Right.
You just got to get one from the other side.
In that situation,
I'd be making deals with people.
I would, too. I'd be the one from the other side almost all the time, because I would want it to be playing constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Susan Collins looked like she just kissed Schumer.
Some people don't know that we use a laugh track on this show for Ryan's jokes.
Yeah, it's great. Otherwise, my stuff would fall flat. But it doesn't. Pops. We can't hear the laugh track. I assume it played there for the general audience.
Well, I didn't say we're off the air.
Too long of a pause? No. There was laughing there. I don't know.
I don't know. The people just won't stop laughing so much.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to hear anything. All right. Let's take a quick break. We're going to get the results to the YouTube live chat poll when we come back. Grade the snow removal in your area, A, B/C, D, or F. I'm going to do this again. Never done this before, I don't think. Let's open the phones in the last segment. We'll maybe get one or two more of you on here to tell us about the snow removal in your area. Here's the number to call, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. How did they do? Do they need to do better? A lot of people saying it's actually been really great. I heard Fort Russell in Illinois gets an A. If you know, you know. We'll be right back.
230-9333.
It is the YouTube live chat poll. Ooh. Grade the snow removal in your area. Has it been A, B, C, D, or F? Let us know by logging on to YouTube. Ooh. And letting us know what you feel about this.
Somebody gave Ryan access to buttons.
Yeah, they did. So, wish there wasn't a delay. It makes it sound like they didn't get the joke. 241. This time check is sponsored. No, really, it is, guys. By Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning.
It's time for a $98 furnace tune-up.
Good afternoon. It's and we
dance all night. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. YouTube live chat poll, grade the snow removal in your area. A. Okay, goodness gracious.
You're an idiot.
This is not going to be easy for me.
I'm not here to make...
Oh.
I'm not here to make your life easy.
No.
What are you here for then?
That
was kind of funny.
It's your turn. Go ahead. You were talking about the poll.
I should get hazard pay.
Annie, yeah, it was right around this time yesterday, I think, where we were in Annie, Are You Okay?
We're 60 seconds away.
16 minutes. If Ryan was here, I wouldn't have to talk again. And I have a feeling that today is not going to be that way.
I got to tell you. I just looked out.
Really?
I just looked out.
Please do.
And I saw that the Reardon Roundtable guests are showing up.
Oh, uh-oh. Let's embarrass the family.
And I'm not sure what they think about this.
I think I have an idea. What if during the Reardon Roundtable today, we just show Ethan how to use those buttons?
Ooh, that'd be fun. What if we let them do the roundtable like normal, but he added them later in the podcast? And Reardon never knew.
He can do it to our show. You can take my interview yesterday with Congressman Bost, do the same thing.
What did you look up? Now there's markers flying everywhere around the studio.
Kate says on YouTube, Ryan got a new toy. Yeah, how did you know?
Yes, I did. No, that one wasn't very funny. The crowd didn't even laugh at that. Shoot.
Shoot. Riley Leonard, the quarterback for Notre Dame last night, I don't have the clip of it, but when he was giving his post-game speech, did you watch that, Ethan?
I did not.
Okay.
I turned it off as soon as it was over.
Why? You Penn State fan?
No, I had to leave my house.
But you did watch the whole thing before you gave up on either team.
Correct. I did finish the game.
Riley Leonard goes and answers these pretty traditional ask the quarterback questions after the game or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he there are two times where he went to say something. He goes, shoot. And the next time he goes, heck.
Country boy.
He was talking about Jesus and everything. And I'm like, man, this is hitting all the marks. For all the people out there who are like, what is with all of these athletes out there constantly talking about Jesus? It's definitely something that has risen within culture. And you mark talking about Jesus with shoot right before you start talking about how great your team did. It's just like super wholesome. I believe it with Riley Leonard. Do you?
He had a full night. Yeah, I know. I do believe
he was
it
not complimentary of his own Leonard performance.
No,
either.
He's been pretty consistent in that in different. And he was the one on when I was hosting, filling in for Wiggins on Wiggins America a couple days ago. The, you know, the younger, wiser, better one.
It's evolving.
I don't even know how that
man, that's a bootleg version of a bootleg place.
What even was that?
That was the Cheers theme
that
song.
That was Cheers, but underwater.
Yeah.
I liked your version better.
Thank you.
But he...
Ryan's not listening to anything you say right now.
I'm waiting for the inflection points.
Riley Leonard talked about how he, how their Bible study within the football team has grown a lot this year, and I thought that was a really big point of like, okay, this is pretty legit.
Yeah, I think so too.
Nothing in there to.
I can't find a boo. I was gonna boo you. I was trying to find a boo when you said that you were better than me.
Right now, the Cheers song is still currently playing in the background.
Is it?
So I'm gonna need you to stop that before I even give you a chance to turn.
It's a long
this up.
Song. Is it? I think it might be the full song.
He had a full night, though, last night, is what I was going to say. He went from, you know, obviously winning the game. He had a great game. He actually went into concussion protocol at one point. He returned.
Whoops. That was an accident.
That was pretty crazy, wasn't it, crowd? It was pretty crazy.
Man,
he did. And he returned.
You're being sensitive over there, mister.
And then there was pictures of him and Shane Gillis, the comedian, after the game together in the locker room. I was like, that looks pretty fun. So it looked pretty cool.
The snow removal question, our Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll question is, grade the snow removal in your area. Ethan, do you have a thought on this? You want to give us a generalization of what your area would be and how you feel about how the crews are doing?
I'm going to say like a C+. Mm-hmm. I know it was only, you know, only A, B, C, D, F. But I would say somewhere between a B and a C would probably be mine. I'd probably say C. Yeah, St. Charles, I was kind of surprised. We live on a relatively busy street in St. Charles, and it took a while for it to be in decent shape for them to have both lanes opened. I don't know. It seems like on the Missouri side, at least, the greater St. Louis area, it was they had to play a lot more catch-up than I thought that they would. I don't know. People talked about there being lack of people to be able to do these kinds of things. I think there's just probably a lack of preparation to a certain extent. Maybe had to do something with it as well.
So you said you're in the BC category?
I'd probably.
You? I mean, I'm always of the more snow, the better. I like the just total stoppage of everything. Can the street crews do too good of a job? I mean, obviously, you've got to think about people who need to get to the hospital, emergency crews and stuff like that. So, of course, the sooner the better. But everything stops when all the snow comes down. And it's almost like you don't want it to be immediately cleared because that takes the fun away from it. I guess the safety and security part's too big of a
changes when you have to go to work, though.
Deal. Yeah. Yeah. Not whole... Ryan takes off when the weather's nice outside. He only comes in when it snows.
Because I want people to think of me as a hero.
Well, and what exactly are you saving?
Like the sandwich.
From?
Yeah, go on.
People look at me as inspiration. They're like, I need something in my life that's going to tell me right from wrong.
What are you looking to inspire people?
He really almost made it through that.
What kind of inspiration do you want to give people?
I think hope for a better tomorrow. And just
like better weather? Is that what it is?
No, there's something deeper. You know the human soul?
I do.
He keeps looking at the clock like it's going to move faster.
He's got 7 minutes.
Are you familiar with the you familiar with the human soul?
Yeah.
That's what that
Oh my God. Ryan just literally stopped working. Like everything in his body just stopped working.
I was going to say, point out the moment to me where he started working.
Sometimes Ryan and I over here will just like look at each other and it'll just, and it's just, I don't know, there's something that just falls apart for one of us, and that was clearly one of those moments.
Kate suggests that Ryan wants to be the Pope of the AFS. Which is one step below Pope of Greenland, which I understand is taken.
I don't. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not a huge Fetterman fan for that reason. I was going to be Pope of Greenland.
No.
And now he comes and makes it a big joke.
Donald Trump sentenced officially today to exactly no punishment for being a threat to democracy. You know, it's just weird to see this, the Jimmy Carter funeral, Obama palling around with Hitler, and then we have the opportunity to sentence a 34 times over felon for what he has done to the American people. And the judge is like, you're good. This is all we needed. Any thoughts on the sentencing today? No, forget you, Brad.
No, well, I was going to look at the sentencing.
I don't know. You had
deeper.
That look. No, I know. You need to stop.
I was
going to
look at
no.
it like from a just a deeper level than you're on the surface.
I'm just going to pack my things.
Stephen A. Smith kind of summed up my thoughts on this. Why are we even doing this? Why does this matter? If everything was as bad as they said it would, then you would have thought that it would require some sort of punishment, even if it's just probation. But no, they're like, no probation, no anything. You just get the title convicted felon. That's all they were after, and it's a complete and utter joke.
It's just that when you ask somebody the question, if somebody goes, he's a convicted felon, you go, what's the crime? Man, they don't know what to do. Because I don't even know what the crime is.
The answer they're going to give you is hush money, and that's not the crime.
That's not the crime. And the one that Mershon said was falsifying business records. Okay, one level deeper then. What did he falsify? It falls apart.
I want to say to anybody who's like 34 felons, I'd be like, how would I repeat his crime?
Exactly.
Walk me through it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I would like to commit that crime. Tell me how.
Yeah. I want to make sure I don't.
Right.
Tell me how to avoid it.
Yeah. Tell me how to avoid the crime. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a criminal like Donald Trump.
It's like I said at the beginning of the show, congratulations on being the winner of the consolation bracket.
These people are footnotes in history now. They know that they lost what they were setting out to do, and they don't really know what to do.
It's also going to get appealed, mm-hmm. and it's going to get overturned, and it's going to go away. I think it's actually funnier that he's going to be inaugurated as a convicted felon.
It's pretty amazing.
He literally took everything that came at him and still won. There was no... I mean, you got to ask yourself, like, how clean is this guy, really? Because if it existed, if there was any way they could contort any form of reality into something that would be punitive to him, they took it not to the end zone, but they found a new stadium and took it into that end zone and be like, let's spike the ball here, and then they'll do it again over and over and over again. And everyone's like, we don't care. This is an Arby's. Like, what? Have you ever seen that meme?
No.
Someone's like complaining about something absolutely ridiculous, and it's like, this is an Arby's, sir.
Oh, this is an Arby's. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's really what these people kind of sound like right now. It's like, I appreciate your passion, but it really doesn't matter anymore. To what extent? The whole time they've been calling him a convicted felon, he wasn't, and it still didn't affect the election. And now that he is a convicted felon, he's just going to be sworn in as the president as a convicted felon and then likely overturned, maybe even somewhat quickly, maybe not, on appeal. So, great try. Here's your consolation prize. Like a little purgatory of actually being able to refer to Donald Trump as a convicted felon for... 34 felonies that you can't even replicate.
It's just amazing that we're halfway through this man's mark on history. This guy is going to be written about for centuries, and we have only gotten through 50% of it as of now.
Yep. YouTube live chat poll?
It's that time.
It is that time.
Grade the snow removal in your area. 254 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. 11% say F, 17% say A, and the rest of them in the middle. 32% saying D, and 40% saying B/C.
Are you getting a lot from your community socially, talking people in public, of people like really complaining a lot? Usually you hear complaints. People don't just go around and be like, these people are doing such a wonderful, fantastic job.
I feel like I've seen a decent chunk of information and complaining on social media. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Specifically.
Really? On
the
social
Twitter.
Media?
Specifically the Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the X.
Does your town have names for its plows?
Like,
do you guys
George?
Do that? No, Collinsville names all of its plows, and you can watch where they go. And one's called Snow Be Gone Kenobi. and there's Edward Blizzard Hands.
No, that only happens in small towns.
Cleopatra.
Collinsville?
Yeah.
Where do you watch these?
Online. Do they on the internet.
It's like GPS trackers.
Yeah, you go to www.something and you watch it.
You can go to URL.
Alice Scooper.
You know what would be cool? If you could play a game to where you could pay like money to control where they go next. That would be fun.
Yeah, you could control their their route.
Nothing
the big Leplowski.
Yeah, yeah.
Plowy McPlowface is one of them. There's several. We always watch to see which one's coming down our street. I think we got Snoopy on Kenobi yesterday.
Did he use the force?
I don't know. Use
no,
some
he used
kind
the
of
plow,
force.
Obviously.
Yeah, he used a force.
Frank said, I live in South County and give it a D, but it's a big F from my block. There's been absolutely no effort to clear anything.
Thanks.
Chris said, I said D. Wentzville did a good job, but highways and ramps were crap from a while. Cars forced to merge early and no speed. I think the ramps have been, you said this, that there's like a different contract or something for ramps.
Mm-hmm.
It shows.
Yeah.
Maybe contract with the people who are not doing the ramps to do the ramps. Just a thought, just a suggestion. Either way, to everybody who is out there driving a plow, thank you for what you're doing. We appreciate you. Keep up the hard work. And we'll get through this snowstorm just fine. Stay warm, stay safe, and stay here on 97.1 FM Talk, The Mark Reardon Show, and The Reardon Roundtable, coming up next. Rock and roll, turn up the band, find the hole, gonna lose control tonight. What do you-